wonderful to be in the house of God. Welcome again, each one of you, as we worship together and seek a blessing at the hand of our God. As I thought about what to preach today, it was not difficult at the end to come to a conclusion, because so many things have been happening in our world, and I've been trying to make sense of it myself. So I'd like to talk with you a little bit this morning about what is happening in our world and its significance and relevance for the Christian church. On March 11th, an 8.9 magnitude earthquake hit the east coast of Japan. Followed by a tsunami or tidal wave that was in some places up to 23 feet tall. Now, for you to grasp a little of the magnitude of that, you see some of it in picture there. If you think of the church you're in right now, you're talking about a wall of water that is above the lintel, the beam that runs across there. Ten feet, twenty feet, 23 feet, yeah. Closer to the top. And if you think that fire is bad, watch for water. If your house is on fire, most people have had time to get out. When a wall of water like that hits your house, you don't have even a second to react. You're gone. And so here is a country that is hit by one of the largest earthquakes in its history. It's a country that is known to be earthquake prone and have made adequate in their thinking, preparation, in their construction for this. But they never expected something as big as this. And then followed by the tsunami. And to add insult to injury, their nuclear reactors are damaged and begin to spew out radioactive material into the air. And so they are in serious, serious trouble. This comes within the context of a world that is rocking in other places, because the Middle East is in turmoil. It was Tunisia, then Egypt, now Libya, and we see Jordan and Syria kind of just tenderly moving along there, and we wonder what is going to happen in those areas. And many people, especially when earthquake is mentioned and war, we go back to Matthew chapter 24. And we say, the Lord is coming soon. This is a sign of the end. And I don't disagree with you. But let's think about the significance of this in its full context. There are two places my mind rests. One of them is Matthew chapter 24, and the other is Revelation chapter 14. In chapter 24, and if you start at verse 6, Jesus tells his disciples, and I have to issue a word of caution, be careful how you read Matthew chapter 24, because Jesus is answering Matthew chapter 24 two questions. He's answering the question about the fall of Jerusalem, and he's answering the question about the end of the age. Just want to sort it out for you, so when you go sit down in your private time and read the whole thing, you don't apply to the end of the age some things that really apply to the fall of Jerusalem, okay? Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading from the New International Version. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. Let me read it again. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come.
That's right.
Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are beginning of birth pains.
Mercy. Yes, sir.
So he's saying, when you see these things happen, be conscious that the end is going to come, but it's not yet.
That's
good. Go on with me to verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a what? A testimony to all nations. And then the end will come.
Yes. But
is it coming together for you?
Yes.
So he's saying there's going to be earthquakes. You'll have wars.
Yes.
But these are the evidence of birth pains. Well, what? The David are born yet.
Verse 8.
What's the crux of the matter? And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world.
Yes.
Then shall the end come.
Amen.
The disasters are natural to our world. It's a sinful world.
Yes.
And sin is having its bigger and bigger play in our world. But he's saying that the kingdom of God must have an even bigger role in our world.
Yes.
The gospel must go forth.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Revelation chapter 14. If you turn it in your Bible. The book of Revelation is an absolutely wonderful book that tells us not to worry in tribulation because God runs things.
Amen.
If you go with me to verse 6, John writes, then I saw another angel flying in the air, and he had what? The eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth and to every nation, tribe, language, and people. The second angel goes on to talk about Babylon is fallen. And the third angel talks about what the results of judgment upon the earth. Now, what I see happening in our world brings to me a consciousness that this is not my home. That we should not get comfortable in this world. When we look at the natural world,
yes,
you don't know when your number will pay. One of the interesting things about us as human beings is that we sit here, and I remember when I got a phone call telling me about what was happening in Japan and the possibility of the tsunami hitting Hawaii and the west coast of North America. And I have kids that live on the west coast, so you know.
Yes, yes.
I'm watching Hawaii carefully to see what happens in Hawaii, because what happens in Hawaii is going to be a part of the tale of what will happen on the west coast of North America. And it's interesting how our reaction is when disaster is coming close to home. Because, you know, what's happening in Japan is out there. And And we are happy, Sister Cardoza, for your daughter that came out just before. And we begin to think about who are the ones that we know that are there, because we are touched more deeply when the disaster is close to home. And we are able to preserve our sanity by disconnecting from those that we do not know, and they become statistics. And so if 10,000 people that perished are 50,000 or whatever it is, and it becomes a number. But when our face is on one of those numbers, then it hits us a lot harder.
Yes. Yes. Right.
But in general, these things tell us not to be too contented in the world.
Yes.
Because it can happen in Kingston.
That's right.
So we must focus on that which is really, really significant. What is really important? Let me tie it together for you. The second angel's message,
yeah,
and what's happening in the political world. Babylon is falling. God is saying to all of us, you live in this world, and we are all affected by the politics of this world. Politics and economics go together. And our economics is very important to us because that's what we eat and buy clothes, right? And if we are not careful, we become so dependent and wrapped up in our minds on the systems of the world. And he says, systems of the world don't follow the ways of God. If it follows the ways of the world, of Babylon, it's going to fall, and we will fall with it. What has happened in the Middle East is telling me that message powerfully, because what has happened there is that over the years, these oil-rich nations, the rulers of these oil-rich nations, have been able to keep their people under subjection and harvest the money for their families and for them alone. What has happened is that the focus of these nations have been on the West. Those are the wicked and bad people. But quietly within their own countries, whenever opposition arises, they quietly, literally kill it off. But what has happened this time is that the economic meltdown of the world has affected the economies of these countries at a poorer level, with such devastation, that people have become so hopeless in their droves and masses that they say, we don't care anymore. These rulers must go. Babylon is falling. The systems where men love and worship their riches rather than treat their subjects with respect and dignity, it must fall. And so, what the finger pointing to the West, be afraid of the Americans and the Canadians and the British, they're going to come and take away your oil and do all kind of things in your country and change your culture and all these kinds of things. That is finished now. Everybody's looking inside, because when sin is inside, it rots from inside. Do not let the happenings of the world cause you to become hopeless, worried, and timid. Because there are other things happening that many of us may sometimes think is something to worry about when it's something to rejoice about. Let's just look at our world for the past 30, 40 years. the fall of communism, the opening of the door for the gospel to be preached in those countries. Isn't that wonderful? To see a black man sit on the throne of North America, or the U.S., sorry. And the inspiration that that is to minority people around the world. Isn't it incredible? You say God not working? Things are happening. Opening doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth. When the tsunami hit Indonesia, studies show that the attitude towards the West, towards America, there were 40% of the people who hated Americans. And less than 10%, 8%, that liked Americans. After the tsunami, and understand this, the section of Indonesia where the tsunami hit, you could not openly preach the gospel. You get the picture? You could not openly preach the gospel. Missionaries' lives were in danger. After the tsunami, it was reversed. 40% of the people loved Americans. And 8% hated them. Why? Because of the Americans that came in, the Christian organizations in North America and around the world that went into that place and carried aid and helped rebuild the people's lives. Are you seeing? When disaster comes, there is opportunity. And if we sit around and say, oh, it would look for the opportunity. God is running things. He is in control and he's taking care of things. The tragedies by land and sea, the tumult of war, devastating effects of economic downturns, and the upheavals of our personal lives have the effect of creating fear, anxiety, worry, anger, and hopelessness. But that is not where God wants us to go. Let's come home. Let's talk about us, where we are, right now. We don't have to have a tsunami here, or an earthquake, 8.9, to know that we have trouble in every part of our land. The enemy is working insidiously in different ways to create the same effect that these disasters create around the world. Trouble is everywhere. People have difficulties in their lives that cause them to become anxious, worried, angry, fearful, and hopeless. Everywhere in the world it is happening. And if we are not careful, these things pervade our lives too, even when we are in the church. But the good news is, there is good news. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for what? A witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. And the first angel's job was to carry what? The everlasting gospel. Now, I want us to think today more seriously about the effect of the gospel upon our lives. Because we can get excited about what is happening in the world. But where are we living? Who are we? What effect does the tragedy and difficulty of life that all of us have passed through and are passing through, what effect does it have upon us? Does the gospel have a more powerful effect than the tragedy of our lives? John 3:16 says, "For what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God says, church, don't get excited and worried so much about what's happening to the world. It blinds your eyes to the fact that I love you. I love you so much. And I will do everything in my power to redeem you and to take you to a safe place. Don't let worry and fear, anxiety overwhelm you. Because I'm your God. I run things, I'm in charge. I run the world, and I can run your life for you. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. You know something? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached when we stop playing church and we start living Jesus Christ. Because all the evidence indicates that people's lives are touched by kindness, by the expressions of love and care that we give. But the psychologists will tell you that people whose hearts are captivated by anger and hatred and fear cannot love. Are you with me? So if the devil is playing a trick on you, and when you see these things happening in your life and in the world, and you're becoming fearful and anxious, you are being disabled, handicapped from being able to carry the gospel forward. Because for the gospel to go forward, Jesus must live in your heart and in my heart. And that love must be seen by the world around us. And when the world sees that love, it will...
There's something sweet. Yeah.
In John's revelation, he said, an angel crying in the midst of heaven. When we as human beings put one iota of effort towards living for Jesus, there are heavenly hosts standing behind us, going before us, troubling hearts. The Holy Spirit is moving in the minds of men and women, preparing them for that moment when we show that kindness, when we issue that smile, when we say a word. Yeah. Transform lives and to make the gospel go forward. Too many of us in church are too bitter. We spend too much time criticizing and tearing down and making and all kinds of stuff. Folks, let's get real. We are wicked and bad in our own hearts if Jesus don't touch it. So all those of us who are walking around and say, this one not kind to me, and that one don't like me. We talk to our brothers and sisters, and we're just listening for them to say one thing that's so like a criticism of us. Tell you, like me, not like me.
Are we coming home? So we can spend all our time talking about the Middle East, talking about Japan, talking about Russia, talking about what happened in America, talking about all kinds of things. And oftentimes what we are doing is creating distraction from the reality that we need to make some changes in our own lives. We need to sit down and weep between the porch and the other, find a closet somewhere and say, Almighty God, help me. And I may come to trust you so much with my life that I stop looking at people and stop looking at church and stop looking at pastors and just let your love just fill my soul, Jesus. That I can be kind to my sister and my brother. That I stop keep malice with my cousin who thief for the money. Because it is only as our spirits are free in Jesus. When our hate is out and our fear is wrapped up and buried and we are filled with say, love casts out what? Perfect love casts out our fear. Stop being afraid when we come to trust our God. And he really is taking good care of us. And he's wonderful, you know. He's so sweet. I tell you, I give him some trouble sometimes. You see. And he just said, boy, where are you going now? You just behave yourself. Come on. Come sit down here. Get that out of your head. This is the way you ought to go. You know it. See where you're going on. Come on. Get right. And he does it so kind. And he's so loving. And sometimes he slapped me. And afterwards, we have to stop sweet because it saved me plenty more pain than what this slap felt like. What is a wonderful God? The devil wants us to be afraid of God. He wants us to think that there's something out there in Babylon that we are missing. I have to say this again. Some of us parents. Don't believe the gospel. Some parents don't believe the gospel. So in the rearing of their children, they become too permissive. Because they think that the world has something to offer their children that God cannot provide. So they can go to the party and they can dress a certain way because they must look sexy. And young people, you know, when trouble take them, for don't fool yourself. The Bible is always right. He that sweats the flesh shall have the fresh flesh reap what? Young or old. It's trouble. The gospel says the way you live your life, if you live it in Jesus, is the best thing you can do. Let go of the false notions that there is something out there in money, in fame, in sex, in whatever it is that's sweeter than what God can put in your heart. Because the devil wants you out there to mess up your life and fill you with pain and misery. And afterwards, all the children are grumbling and miserable and cantankerous. Because your life has been so miserable. And you come back to church without guilt and you're afraid to go to hell. Because you know the truth and you're not living the truth out there. So you come back in and you're still miserable. And the Lord says, no, I want to just make you so happy in me. When a spirit is surrendered to Jesus and the gospel shines through it, the stories are told over and over of people who, when they turn their wretched lives over to the Lord, what wonderful things he does with them. Let that be our charge and our challenge this day as we look at the world and try to make sense of it. That the biggest sense we can make of it is that the world belongs to God. Sin is messing it up. We got to let go of sin, hold on to Jesus, and go home. God bless you.